Spoken and heard for the love of Jesus, the living word. Amen. Please be seated. There's one phrase that comes to my mind when I'm reading the gospel, reading the Bible readings, and that's this one phrase. What you put in your mind matters. What you put in your mind matters. It matters for four reasons, and I'll do this very briefly today. What you put in your mind matters. It matters physically, what you put in your mind. How can that be? Well, let's look at this man. This tormented man, the Gerasene demoniac, he's known as, the name, the spirit that, or spirits that live within him, gives him, is the name Legion. Do you know how many soldiers were in a Roman legion? 6,000. This man was tormented spiritually by warring factions of personality and torment within him that only the word legion could seem to describe. A tormented soul, breaking shackles, not living in homes. Where is he? On the Oshawa Creek, so to speak. He's away from civilization. Some people will offer them homes and shelters, and they still want to be outside. They don't trust. What you put in your mind matters physically. What we have done with 50 little hygiene packets to help people physically will minister to those people. What a wonderful sign of love from this parish and among 40 or 50 or 60 people at the meeting yesterday working together as a faith community. What does this man do when he's healed? He sits at Jesus' feet. He's clothed and in his right mind. Somebody finds him a blanket. Somebody finds him a cloak. Somebody gets a cloth and puts some ointment on it and helps his burning skin from the shackles that he'd torn the skin on his hand. I mean, I'm imagining a little here, but you can imagine that he was allowing his body to actually be cared for. Physically, he was, if he were looking himself in the mirror and saying, you know, it's going to be okay. What you put in your mind matters. It matters physically. How you feel about yourself, how you dress, how you take care of yourself with the vitamins and the medications and the things that we eat and the things we try to do to sleep and to relax or to be creative. The physical things that we feed our mind with are very important. They're important to this man, and you can see the change that happens when he sits at the feet of Jesus. You see, the transformation happened. Listen to this. The transformation happened when Jesus spoke out the misery and he spoke in the mercy. He spoke out the misery, and he spoke in the mercy. What a beautiful moment of ministering to his mind, even in his physical self. What you put in your mind matters to your emotional health. Do you find it odd that Jesus says to him, "Don't follow me"? Did you notice that in the scripture? It says, "Don't follow me." Go home to your family. Tell them what God has done. It's a little bit like anybody on Facebook who would say, "I'm going to unfollow you." Now, that's a Facebook example, and it's not really, doesn't fit exactly. But Jesus has a bigger picture in mind. Sometimes Jesus would push back a little bit. He would say, you know, go to the Jewish rabbi and tell them, you know, what the lepers who are here, the only one comes back and says thank you. Well, go do the proper thing. Emotional healing takes time, and it takes connection, because he's been disconnected, right? He's been out by himself. So emotional healing takes time. And so what Jesus has in mind, for him to go deeper in his healing, he is to go back to his family. And guess what his name is? I have no idea. But his family back home know him by his name. Am I right? They know him not as Legion. They know him as Benjamin or whatever his name was, right? So they can reclaim his sense of self, his sense of worth, and they'll go beyond the fear that they might have felt that that is expressed. The townspeople were afraid of what had happened, that he would be part of helping them move beyond their fear to accepting that God is real and God does make transformation possible, even in one's emotional life. It's a beautiful picture of what Jesus is doing in not just this man's life, but in the whole town. Because we see the devastation that happens because these pigs got this spirit in them and they fall off the cliff and down into, and they're drowned. I mean, 2,000 pigs, how many jobs are left at GM? Right? Falling off the cliff into Lake Ontario. So we as a church community in this town, we need to be, and I know that Deacon Warren, when he's here, he leads prayers and other people do, we are really wanting to be aware of the issues that are around us in our community to be able to address them to the best of our ability and to be there for people in whatever their needs might be, especially emotionally, as that is an ending, but also a beginning and a new possibility of spirit of service, if you're using the words of our mayor, Dan Carter. What you put in your mind matters in terms of your emotional health. So let me ask you, are you carrying around some emotions today that are anger related? Are you carrying around some emotions in you that are unresolved grief because of a loss or a death or a change of health or a relationship issue? Are you carrying around some things that you need to unfollow? Do you see what I'm saying? To put some distance between you and them, because God has something better in store for you emotionally in terms of your health, to be creative and to develop that attitude of gratitude in your life, as this man demonstrates. What you put into your mind matters in terms of your physical health, your emotional health, and your physical and your spiritual health. What you put in your mind matters. You see, Jesus had removed one stronghold with many different voices, competing voices in this man's life. And whether for us it might be self-doubt or temptations or whatever fills up those strongholds of places spiritually, not just emotionally, but spiritually, they can be supplanted and transformed. Paul writes to the Romans, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." You see, what had happened with the stronghold of fear that was within this man, and self-destruction, and Jesus spoke out the misery, spoke in the mercy, and replaced that stronghold of negativity with a stronghold of positivity, of, I'm calling it, quiet confidence and spiritual fervor, a castle of joy, quiet joy. This man began to know joy. He began to know joy in his life in a quiet way, as he wants to be able to follow Jesus. And he sends him back home with the instructions, go and tell what God has done for you. And so what does he do? He goes and tells what Jesus has done for him. So there's this connection between the unseen God and what Jesus, the physical presence and manifestation of God's presence, has done for him. So the 6,000 overwhelming voices of torment are replaced by one voice, his own, free at last in Christ. Now I'm going to take it to another deeper level. Beyond the physical, beyond the emotional, even beyond the personal, spiritual health that God wants us to know over time and in his gentle mercy. And that's this. That God in Christ frees this man and us, not just for my own liberation, but for the liberation of a nation. Starts with yourself, perhaps others around you, in a family, in a city, in a province, in a community. The move of God raises our sights toward a vision of cultural transformation. The person who gets control of their thought life is in a position of influence. I wonder what's going on in your thoughts right now. The person who gets control of their thoughts life, God has given us a spirit of self-control. We do not have to be under the influence of just the body and its aches and pains, of our emotions and the things we carry around with us, or of circumstances beyond our control. In Christ, God has given us the possibility to create the conditions by the things we put into our mind to be a stronghold for mission. Collectively, mission of a positive influence for good in the world, in your family, in your business, in your volunteering, in the community. It may take years of influence, of prayer. People with different names, people with from different places working together. And the culture can shift. If you bemoan some things that are going on in our culture, whether it's name a political leader or name a movement or name a whatever it is that you feel is a concern, feed your mind with the things of God. Whether it be the word that you... I brought my home Bible today. I don't usually use this one when I'm preaching. But I brought this one because this is what I use every single morning. This is my tool. This is my gourmet meal every single day. If I didn't have this, well, I'd find another Bible. It's not magic. But it's part of me trying to feed my mind so that I have a stronghold from which that God can speak to my heart and my mind, and I hope speak to you. Feed your mind with God's word. Dust it off. Get it up. Do the YouVersion app on your phone, whatever it is some people are using, and allow it to feed your mind with good things. Be here, to summarize. Be here physically as much as you can, because your physical presence here says something to each other. It says something to me, it says something to each other. And it isn't just about attendance or about the bottom line. Let's face it, it's about a spiritual battle. The battle is in your mind. It's in my mind. So we want to fill our mind by physically being present to take our minds away from ourselves and to worship something greater and bigger and more wonderful than ourselves. So be here as much as you can. Feed your mind with each other's presence. Feed your mind with the sacrament. By the body receiving that which the world can't give. I mean, you can have crackers and grape juice somewhere else, and that would be great. If you worship somewhere else, that's fantastic. But if you're part of this church family and you want to see what God's got in store for us, be here to feed your spirit, to feed your mind with the things of God. And let us speak out misery in each other's lives and speak in mercy so that we might be all that God calls us to be. Two scripture verses to finish off, and that I feel moved to say that 2 Corinthians chapter 10 speaks to us as Paul writes, "Indeed, we live as human beings, but we do not wage war according to human standards. For the weapons of our warfare are not merely human, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle raised up against the knowledge of God, And with every thought, we take every thought captive, obedient to Christ. God wants you to know blessing. God wants you to know flourishing, creativity, joy, peace, love. If you're not experiencing those things, what are you feeding your mind with? It's not to say that if we have these struggles, because we will, but we don't have to let them win. And that's the joy of the gospel. It's the good news. And what we fill our mind with makes a difference. Paul writes, the last scripture for Philippians 4:8, Paul writes, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, think about these things. The kingdom thought that you and I have, God's kingdom, brings about God's revelation. What you put into your mind matters. Thank you for your kind attention. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for giving me these dear people to love, and we have each other to love and to love you. And my heart this morning is with dear Ted Eldridge, who is facing his last hours in this life. I thank you that Warren is there with him and Mary and Cheryl and Kim at the hospital. I thank you that he has served well in this community of faith and that he has great things in store for him as he has trusted in you by your grace, not by his works, to find home and freedom in Christ. So we thank you that we have this opportunity to gather here. We have freedom to do so. We have the physical ability to do so. And that we might be inspired by your word, fed by your sacrament, by our community life together, whether here or at the picnic, and over the summer, to trust that you will lead and guide us and give us that sense of vision of what we can be as an influence for good and transformation in this community. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for feeding me and for feeding us with things in our minds that will make it possible for those spiritual insights that might make us even more than we can ask or imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.